It's time for the Week in Review, our weekly roundup of the top state, national, and international news stories of the week. We have two guests with us from different political viewpoints, and we want to hear from you, too. Good morning. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's 8 minutes past 8 o'clock on this Friday, May 4th. So happy to have Ed Garvey and David Blaska with us today to debate and discuss the latest in the Wisconsin recall elections, issues in the presidential campaign, the president's surprise trip to Afghanistan, the latest in the plight of that Chinese dissident. We will welcome your thoughts on these stories and the issues in the news that matter most to you at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us on Twitter at Joy Cardine Show. Let me welcome our guests. Ed Garvey is senior partner at the law firm of Garvey, McNeil & Associates and the publisher of FightingBob.com. Good morning, Ed.
Good morning, Joy.
And David Blaska, former Dane County supervisor and new blogger. David, hello.
Hey, Joy.
You have a new blog. What is that?
Well, it's at IB Wisconsin, In Business Wisconsin, and you just go IB Wisconsin /Blaska, B-L-A-S-K-A, and it gets you there.
Good.
Well, free parking, by the way, too.
Thanks for both of you for being with us. Let's start with state politics today. The new Marquette University Law School poll shows Governor Scott Walker and Milwaukee Mayor Tom Barrett in a dead even race. Among registered voters, Barrett led Walker 47-46%. Among likely voters, Walker led Barrett 48-47%. Are you surprised at all, David Blaska, that this race is this close, according to this poll?
I am a little bit, although I think this is the second Marquette Law School poll, and the previous one was pretty tight as well. There's another poll out, I think it's about 2 weeks old, from Public Policy Polling, which is a Democratic poll, which showed Walker up 5 on Barrett, 7 on Falk. So it's, I'm surprised it's close, but also I'm still surprised we're having this recall. It's you know, someone's going to win by 51-52% probably, or even less, and we're having a recall. So it's not like, you know, there's a lot of outrage here. It's any normal political year, except we've moved it up 2 years.
Well, what do you think of this dead-even race, Ed Garvey?
Well, first off, no poll is any better than the pollster. And it just seems to me that this Marquette University Law School thrust into the polling world is a little bit suspect. And so I've been asking, who is Charles Franklin who does this polling? And who's paying him? And could we get to see the records as we did when they were working with the Wisconsin Policy Research Institute at the University of Wisconsin Poli Sci Department? But what I'm surprised at is that $25 million has been raised. I mean, just think about $25 million in the state of Wisconsin for a gubernatorial race. So when David says he's surprised about the rancor, I'm not surprised at all. People are so angry at Walker that I don't think that his millions is going to make any difference, because people have made up their mind. They're going to vote him out of office.
Well, let's talk a little bit about that. Governor Walker did announce that he raised $25 million in the past 15 months, $13 million of that since January of this year. Is the Democratic frontrunners, Kathleen Falk and Tom Barrett, have raised less than $1 million each. Ed, you say that the candidate with the most money is not necessarily going to win?
In the normal situation, if you are outspending your opponent by 2-1 or 3-1, you're going to win. This is not normal. We've had hundreds of thousands of people demonstrating against this governor. We've had recall petitions signed by almost 1 million people. So people have made up their minds about him before we can even get to the cashier's window to put the money down.
Mm-hmm. Well, Ed, I guess I'd agree to the extent that I don't know if there's 1 or 2% of the population, the voting population, that is undecided. I do think there's a lot of decided voters, but there's yet to be a poll that conclusively shows that a Democrat wins. And I also would point out this money, $13 million that Scott Walker has raised. He hasn't spent it all yet. And I would point out that of that money, $4.4 million that he raised came from in-state. This is double, more than double, all the Democrats combined. So, and most of that, something like a third of it, is small change, under $100. So
under $100,000.
So then,
no,
I guess
under $100. So a third of it is small donations.
Two-thirds of his money comes from out-of-state.
What are your thoughts, Ed, first on Governor Walker transferring $60,000 in these campaign funds to his legal defense fund in the John Doe probe? Just to explain that John Doe probe is investigating activities in the Milwaukee County Executive's Office when Scott Walker was the county executive running for governor. The Democratic Party and candidate Tom Barrett have said that Walker should not have a legal defense fund if he isn't the target of this investigation.
Well, I assume he is, because that's what the statute calls for. But the lawyers for Walker are doing a good job. They're delaying everything until they get to the election, at least they seem to be. I do think that there should be an outrage from the editorial boards and from people in the state of Wisconsin saying, wait a second, if our governor is under attack by the U.S. Attorney's Office for illegal campaign activity, we have a right to know that. But apparently they're going to focus on important questions in the Marquette poll, like, when did you stop talking about politics at the kitchen table? I mean, we've got a few things to worry about other than some of that kind of nonsense.
Does David Blaska, the governor, need to explain himself further on this?
Well, he said he's been told that he's not a target of the investigation. You know, and what's been underreported, but it has been reported, is he's the one that, you know, blew the whistle at some shady doings in his own office there, that he said this isn't right. It started with funds being diverted, and he said, you know, that he called in the investigators to say, would you look into this? Something's not right here. So he started this in order to have a clean house. But I I don't know that as a lawyer, Ed, you can tell someone here that he shouldn't be prudent about his legal rights.
I'm not saying he shouldn't be prudent. It just seems to me that he ought to be frank and open. Remember when Walter Mondale was running for president, and the vice presidential candidate her husband's taxes came into question. She had an open news conference for, I think it went for like 7 hours, answering every question. Scott Walker's not answering the questions. Legally, I don't think he can take campaign funds and put it toward a defense fund unless he is the target, or he is
potentially. Right, I know that's been raised, but it's a relatively minor point.
Well, it's the point, because if he is not supposed to be spending that money, I think it could throw his election into some kind of chaotic.
You hope.
Of course.
I'm going to go back to the poll that Ed questions, but that Marquette University Law School poll also shows that Tom Barrett has a double-digit lead over his Democratic challengers in next Tuesday's primary election. Former Dane County Executive Kathleen Falk, Secretary of State Doug LaFollette, and State Senator Kathleen Vinehout. What do these results say to you, Ed?
Well, first off, I'm happy to say that we have four good candidates who have stepped forward to run for governor, and they have worked hard. They've gone all over the state. They've been in every forum and in debate that's been held. So I think the Democrats should be very proud of the fact that these candidates are working hard and deserve to be the opponent of Walker. I don't know what's going to happen. It's interesting that since we've become a state, we've never had a woman as governor of the state of Wisconsin. I've been saying I think it's time that we had a woman as governor, and I think that's a real possibility. Kathleen Falk has a good campaign going, and we'll see what ultimately happens. But I think at this point, polling just becomes almost irrelevant, but you can count on another Marquette poll right before the general election.
David, your thoughts on the Democratic contenders this recall?
Don't endorse anybody at this point.
Yeah, I don't.
Restrain yourself.
Arthur Cole Riggs here. by the way, he went out with his campaign funds and bought a new suit of clothes. Apparently he didn't have one before. So, I have to wonder, Joy, what is this recall all about? Supposedly it's Act 10. Supposedly it's the diminishment of collective bargaining rights, and yet the candidate who is taken that banner and unfurled it and led it into the charge is Kathleen Falk. I mean, she's the endorsee of WEAC, the teachers union. She's the endorsee of AFSCME, the state employees union. They're still apparently doubling down on her candidacy, whereas Tom Barrett used the tools, quote unquote, of Act 10 to balance his budget, and argued that they didn't go far enough, argued that they should apply to police and firefighters as well. And I think, I'm sitting next to Ed Garvey here. I can ask him the question, I guess. But I get the sense, Joy, that the Democratic wing, so-called, of the Democratic Party is decidedly cool toward Tom Barrett. And I do question if he does prevail on Tuesday, whether the fire will be out of the movement.
Will it, Ed?
Oh, I don't think so. I mean, people are going to be voting because the same people who signed those petitions. When you get 1 million people in the state of Wisconsin to do anything other than go to the Brewers for half the season, you're doing something rather remarkable. And I think that the people are desperate to get Walker out of there, and it has everything to do with what's going to happen to our public schools and what happens to Badger Care and what happens to minimum wage, what happens to women's rights. I mean, Walker, one of the last things he did was take away the Ledbetter rights from women in the state of Wisconsin. I think he's part of the war on women. And so as people start to look at the race as we get closer to it, the fire is going to be there.
Is Rebecca Clayfish, the lieutenant governor, is she also engaged in this war on women?
I've never met her, never heard her speak on.
Okay. I mean, she stands next to Scott Walker at every
Well, then,
event.
Yeah, I think she's part of that.
All
yeah.
right. Oh, so she's kind of a misguided woman and probably
All
doesn't
right.
have the
I'll
knowledge.
I'll stipulate to that if that's
All right. she needs your guidance. I understand that.
You don't have to say who you're voting for, David, but I'm wondering what you think is going to happen with, you mentioned Arthur Cole Riggs, a progressive Republican candidate, he calls himself, running against Governor Walker in a Republican primary. Then we have the four real Democrats and one fake Democrat on the Democratic side.
He's a fake Republican.
Yeah. In any case, how do you think these fake candidates are going to influence the vote on the primary?
Well, there's a lot of to and fro on the new media or the electronic social media about what do we do? Do we stay home and vote in our own primary? Do we try to cause mischief? Even on the Republican side, there's a little bit, saying vote for Scott Walker. So, I don't think Douglas Fowle's going to win. I don't think Kathleen Vinehout's going to win. I actually do. My crack team of scientists ran the numbers, and we think that Kathleen Falk has a good chance. I'm not sure that a poll, this is a very unique situation. I think she's got her people have the fire. I don't see any fire on the Barrett side. You've got the good old boys. You've got Dave Obie and all the rest saying, well, let's go with the safe choice. I do think it's instructive, though, that so many of the past five mayors, including the current mayor of Madison, almost everyone in Dane County has endorsed Barrett. They don't like Kathleen Falk. They just don't like her.
Do you think Republicans are going to vote for Kathleen Falk because they think she's a weaker candidate?
There was some of that. There was some of that. And I can't give you a definitive answer because there is some of that out there, yeah.
Ed?
That sort of mischief rarely works. I mean, every time there's an election, we say, oh, well, this is an open primary, so, you can play games with it. But people tend to go to vote for the person that they really believe in, and particularly this one. This is the hottest election in the history of the state, I would guess. Maybe there were some back 100 years ago. But people are really committed to their candidate at this point. You either like Scott Walker or you want him out of office. 1 million people say we want him out of office. And we'll get a chance to see whether they can show up at the polls. If they show up at the polls, he's going to lose.
The question, of course, is to replace him with what? I know that people sign those petitions, and I've walked petitions myself, Ed, and usually out of politeness, people will sign as long as it doesn't involve a mortgage or something like that.
Well, there's going to be a Democratic gubernatorial candidate debate tonight at 7 o'clock from 7 until 8. You can hear it on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. You can watch it on Wisconsin Public Television. You can hear and see from all of the candidates one more time before the Tuesday primary. You can also hear our candidate forums that we conducted last week on this program and during At Issue with Ben Marins and all other recall-related coverage on our WisconsinVote.org website. The debate will also be posted there in case you can't watch it tonight.
It always reminds me, Joy, having been a candidate and watching what you do, if it were not for public radio and public television, no one would know there's going to be an election. So I congratulate the staff for what they do.
Well, thanks very much, Ed. Ed Garvey, senior partner at the law firm of Garvey McNeil & Associates, publisher of FightingBob.com, and David Blaska, a former Dane County supervisor, with us. And we welcome your comments on state politics, 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. We'll also talk about national politics and the latest from the presidential campaign trail a little bit later on in the program. This is the Week in Review on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. Happy to have you with us on this Friday, May 4th. Coming up this afternoon, it's your views on the news from 4 until 5. You can call in to talk about what you think is the most significant news story of the week during your views on the news every Friday afternoon. Today, Jean Purcell in for Ben Marins. This is our regular Friday Week in Review. I'm Joy Cardine talking with Ed Garvey and David Blaska today, and our first caller is Randy in Key Wascom. Hi, Randy.
Hello, thank you for taking my call. Now, earlier, Ed was talking, when you were talking about the John Doe investigation, he forgot to mention that it was being done by a Democratic DA in Milwaukee County who seems to have a pipeline right to the Democratic Party. The Democratic Party seems to know more about what's going on in the John Doe than the media or anybody else.
Well, I don't know what you're talking about, and I don't think you do, because the U.S. Attorney office is beyond, I think, that kind of...
Well, this is John Chisholm, though. This is the Milwaukee County District Attorney.
I'm sorry, but...
And he's a Democrat.
So what?
Okay. Well, I think the caller raises a question that we don't know the answer to.
So there have been three ex-aides and an appointee and someone else, I believe, a campaign contributor already indicted for violating...
The contributor was, well, if you're talking about... One of those folks was released and exonerated, and after his picture had been published, it was a real estate person.
But that's not included in the total I just said.
No, okay, yeah, good. Okay, good. I think I know what you're talking about. But I just want to also point out that they have had some collateral damage, which, you know, they basically had to apologize for.
Right, but so we have, though, at least some of Governor Walker's former aides when he was Milwaukee County Executive, right. Walker, being charged with doing campaign work on county time.
And he could deal with this, if the caller's right, he could deal with it by simply holding an open-ended news conference and answering questions from reporters. But Walker is not going to do that until the election's over.
Well, we don't know that. We know that he's not doing it during the primary, because right now all the attention is on the Tuesday primary on the Democratic side. So we don't know what he's going
to
do.
Can he join with me in demanding that he do that? Or?
I don't know if he can. I mean, I don't know if he can talk about an ongoing investigation. I don't know if he knows the details on it. You know, I think he's getting the word just as we are, maybe, you know, an hour earlier. But, it's like he's got this treasure box of information. He's going to open up and tell us everything that happened. I think he's finding this out as we do.
Let's take a call from Laverne now in Monroe. Hi, Laverne.
Good morning, Joy. Great program. Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning.
Hey.
Ed, I agree with you. If this John Doe deal bears questioning the explanation, when five of his, Walker's aides are investigated by the FBI and Walker's hiring an attorney, something's got to be fishy. Now, I'm mad at Walker for another reason, but this sure doesn't add into it, and I hope Barrett really pushes it.
I agree with you.
All right. Let's go to Mike in Cudahy. Hello, Mike.
Hi. I think we have to realize that a lot of people in Wisconsin hate Scott Walker, and I'm one of them. And that is not good for Wisconsin when we have nearly 50% of the voting public that hates the governor. I hate the governor not because of his stand at collective bargaining. I hate the governor because of his push for voter ID, his push for concealed carry, and his destruction of our school system. I will vote for whoever opposes this guy. If he is in office for another 2 years, this will be bad for Wisconsin. And I'm going to make a prediction. He's going to get indicted, and he's going to go to jail. He had a secret email system in his office with a router 25 feet from his office. This guy is going to go to prison.
Mike, thanks very much. Do you want to address any of that, David?
Well, I think Richard Nixon, when he left office, had something to say about hate and hate winning. You know, remember that speech he gave? So we have a hater here, and we may have seen him on the siege of the Capitol. I guess I would just say he hates concealed carry. Then he's going to hate every state in the union except Illinois. You know, the schools have been wrecked and ruined, and the kids are pouring bleach on their Cheerios in the morning because it's. But I look at a survey that the Department of Public Instruction did in the Wisconsin Association of School Boards, and this year, if you take a number of kids per teachers and also counselors and other academic support, we have 13.5 kids per classroom compared to 13.27 last year. A small increase. I don't know that, and the headline, by the way, if I could just mention in the Wisconsin State Journal on Wednesday, school districts balance budgets with few layoffs. Boy, that sure is a disaster. So taxpayers saved $1 billion. That sure is a disaster. And I know that Tom Barrett will undo each and every one of these things.
Ed, it's not a disaster, according to David.
Well, it is. And the whole idea of private schools and voucher schools and charter schools, what we have is this right-wing group that is pushing to get rid of public education and to force people into private education, as we used to have. We used to call them charity schools long before we had public schools. So I think that Walker has been bad. And even if they can get by with a couple of more years of some cuts, the fact is, we're losing. Even ExxonMobil had a TV spot on that we're now, 27th in the world in terms of math? Our kids are not competing well. We need more money for schools, not less.
So can I ask a question here of Ed? How much will your candidate, whether it's Kathleen Falk or Tom Barrett, how much will they raise our taxes? Do you have a figure in mind? How much should they raise our taxes?
Well, that's such a broad question. They should raise the taxes for the very wealthy. They should raise corporations. Instead of giving the tax breaks to all those corporations, they gave billions of dollars.
No, they didn't. They gave $58 million out of a $60 billion biennial budget, $58 million to corporations.
Well, you're not suggesting they're giving more money to schools.
I'm suggesting that until it's economic situation gets better. You know, we just had 76 layoffs at American Family Insurance here. Those people are going to be getting workers' comp insurance, or excuse me, unemployment insurance. They have no jobs. At least, you know, we've done this without layoffs. Even Tom Barrett used the tools in Act 10 because he didn't want to have layoffs, because he didn't want to raise taxes, and because he didn't want to cut services. Well, guess what? Neither did Governor Scott Walker. He didn't want to raise taxes. He didn't want to cut services. He didn't want to lay off anyone. But he's going to spread the pain as much as possible.
And that's why the Koch brothers and all these people are putting in millions and millions of dollars and made him the poster boy for the country.
Because they think
he's going to help public education. If you believe that, then
you're getting to the point of paranoia. But that's okay.
Let me take another. Dave in Wanakee. Hi, Dave.
Yes, hello. I wanted to say that I think the upcoming recall election of Governor Walker is going to be a bellwether on the power and limitations of campaign cash.
I hope so.
On one hand, you have the Koch brothers and all that Citizen United money, and on the other hand, you have Scott Walker's terrible record as governor of Wisconsin implementing economic policies, a $2 billion tax cut over 10 years to big business in Wisconsin. And the result is the worst job loss percentages in the nation. While Wisconsin was losing 25,000 jobs, Scott Walker was raising $25 million to fight his recall. So, you know, every time Scott Walker raises $1,000, somebody in Wisconsin loses their job.
You know, you do have to wonder whether Walker ever spends any time in Madison. I mean, if he's raising $25 million going around the country to these dinners, he must be on the road a lot, so it seems to me that somebody ought to at least get. He didn't even release his schedule in advance for the media to follow him, but we ought to at least find out what they're doing. But I like your point. We're last in the nation. We're number one in the nation in terms of job loss. It's almost impossible to imagine we're number one, but that's where we are. Here's a guy who ran for governor saying, "I will create 250,000 jobs." He knew that was nonsense. It's nonsense now. Now they're going to have to raise about another $350,000 just to catch up to where they were.
Why, David, do you think Wisconsin has the worst job losses in the nation?
Well, I think part of it is, to be honest about it, if you're an executive of a small, mid-sized, or large company, whether you're located in Wisconsin or Illinois, and you're thinking about expansion, who's going to be governor of Wisconsin on June 6th? You don't know right now. It could be Scott Walker. It could be Michael Moore. You look at Tom.
Look at Michael Moore. I like that idea.
You look at Tom Barrett. He's lost 4,400 jobs in the last month in the Milwaukee area. The city is the ninth most impoverished in the country. I don't know that he's got a great job creation record. Their unemployment rate has gone up 29% in the last year.
I would agree with you to say this.
Blacks are historically unemployed. Governor Walker had a $100 million program, which was in the works for long before this recall effort started, which he announced this past week, to bring jobs and revitalize the city of Milwaukee, because it's very important that the city succeeds.
Whether you're talking about tuition at the University of Wisconsin, or whether you're talking about public education or health care, what we need to do is bring people together in the state of Wisconsin to come up with some solutions to the problems, the long range, that both sides can agree on. The problem with Walker is he's thrown down the gauntlet, and he's just not the kind of person that
Kathleen,
we can deal with.
I got to say, though, Kathleen Falk is going to bring people together. She never did on the Dane County Board. I thought she was unnecessarily partisan. I actually worked with her, tried doing a couple of things. Including the merger of the health department.
You probably walked out on some of the votes.
No, I didn't. No, I stood there.
A couple of quick hits here. Governor Walker this week was pointing toward better news in terms of our business climate. He says Wisconsin moved up this week in a business climate survey from a national group, jumping in the past year four places and being supposedly a better place to do business. So is Governor Walker good for business, Ed?
No, I mean, he's good for great big business, the Koch brothers and so on. He's not very good for small business. And I think the Democrats traditionally have tried to work out programs that make sense for the little guy, not the great big huge multinational corporations. For him to say, well, boy, we moved up, now we're only 46th in the country, is pretty silly.
Well, I got to ask Ed, if GM tried to, you know, wanted to get back into Janesville, would you fight that? Because that's a big multinational.
No, I fight for it.
So that's a big multinational corporation, and yet you disparage them.
No,
that's that kind of attitude that I think drives away a business.
Where is Chrysler?
And it seeps down.
And why is Chrysler doing well? Is it because of
they're not in Kenosha? I'll tell you that.
Well,
you want to order Chrysler's? They left.
Well, what's that?
No, Obama had the bailout.
You guys do everything they can to stop the bailout. And then when it works, you say, "Oh well, you know, we did it."
We stopped the bailout. Well, how did that happen?
Let's move to one more issue in the recall campaign before we move on to some other national issues. Candidate Kathleen Falk this week called on DNR Secretary Kathy Stepp to leave her post, to step down, because there has been a big drop in DNR enforcement activity. The DNR says they are trying to work with businesses in terms of violations instead of fining them and suing them right away. Ed Garvey, Kathy Stepp should step down?
Absolutely. You know, I was Deputy Attorney General when Kathleen Falk was the public intervener, and she did a terrific job of trying to protect our environment. The corporations are looking for profit. If you look at the mining, for example, what was that going to do to the Wisconsin environment? And yet you had Walker and others pushing hard to see that they could permit mining in the state of Wisconsin that could ruin our entire environment.
Yeah, sure would ruin our entire. We'd be the moonscape here. You know, the interesting thing is the Duluth Times Herald.
There's a paper I don't read anymore.
Couldn't figure out why. What's wrong with Wisconsin? You know, they cover the Mesabi Iron Range there in Minnesota. They've had mining for years. We can't mine iron in Iron County, Wisconsin. Think about that. And that's the kind of Democrats' job creation thing.
Non sequitur.
And when Kathleen Falk was public intervener, she held up the South Beltline reconstruction. And now we have a nice road where people aren't getting massacred every morning. It was awful. and the amount of fuel wasted in that stop and go traffic, I remember that.
Let's turn now to some presidential campaign politics and issues.
Yeah, we should be able to get along on that.
Yes, our Week in Review continues. That same Marquette University poll shows a dead heat in the recall election, shows President Obama with a 51-42% lead over Mitt Romney. And as we'd like to ask on the Week in Review from time to time, Ed Garvey, what's the deal with that?
Well, the poll is better on national issues.
Charles Franklin is a good guy.
He understands the national scene.
Oh,
doesn't get out of Wisconsin.
Well, David Blaska, do you think that, I mean, is that surprising to you that President Obama would
Your
have
Honor,
such a
I
good
rest lead? My case. What a guy. No, it doesn't surprise me at all. We'll see what the polls, you know, if it's correct or not. Right now, though, I would say in Wisconsin, it's all the oxygen is being sucked out of the room by this recall. Really, oh, don't yeah. you think?
Absolutely.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, no one can. Tommy Thompson can't get any traction.
I don't get anyone asking me about the national election. They just want to know what's going to happen with Walker.
That's it.
Well, they're not talking about anybody else.
Yeah.
Well, let's hear. Maybe this will fire some people up. Mitt Romney this week accused President Obama of politicizing the death of Osama bin Laden 1 year ago. Romney said it was inappropriate for the president to claim credit for ordering that operation. He said it was appropriate for him to claim credit, but inappropriate and false for President Obama in an ad to say Romney would not have made the same decision. Romney says he would have. Do you agree or disagree with Romney, David?
Well, I think it's natural and should be expected that President Obama would take credit for a decision that went well. I mean, this was not a case of helicopters, you know, shot down in the sand dunes like under Jimmy Carter. So, you know, he did the right thing there, and it worked. I think all due credit.
And
I'm trying to be nonpartisan about this. I'm very proud of the decision he made. I know a lot of my friends on the left, we'll let Ed speak for himself, think it's terrible that the Osama bin Laden wasn't brought to New York District Court and given an ACLU lawyer.
Do you think Mitt Romney would have made the same call?
Who knows? I think he would have, but who knows?
What I thought was really obnoxious is when Mitt Romney said even Jimmy Carter would have made that order. I mean, Jimmy Carter risked his presidency on the same type of rescue, and it didn't work, and he lost his presidency. But I thought that was a cheap shot. I watched that program last night for now. It's very dramatic. I mean, it's one of the most interesting things that's happened in this country in a long, long time. So I just have to applaud all the military people who risked their lives to make this happen. Obama, for having the courage to do it. It was quite a remarkable achievement.
The president also made a surprise visit to Afghanistan this week. He signed a pact an accord with the Afghan government spelling out the eventual withdrawal of U.S. combat troops. Are you, Ed, satisfied with how this war is winding down?
No.
Why?
It's not fast enough. I mean, the fact is 70 to 75% of the American people want to be out of Afghanistan, and I think we should be out of it. And listening to Obama's speech, well, you know, I support Obama. It sounded an awful lot like those speeches we used to hear about what was going to happen in Vietnam. Victory is just around the corner. Or we're going to have an agreement with Afghanistan. I don't think so. I think it's time to get our troops out, put that money into a much more useful program.
Mm-hmm. What do you think, David?
Well, you know, there's a lot of things, too. I mean, going back to the recall a little bit, folks like Ed, you know, the president has not closed Gitmo. I mean, that was one of the...
Are you talking about Karzai recall?
Yeah, right. I'm talking about recalling Mr. Karzai. Yeah, actually, they have a different system over there, apparently, but he's been able to fend off. I mean, it's a brutal system they've got over there. So, I mean, if you talk about promises not kept... I think you know, you could talk about President Obama a little bit, but who'd have thought that foreign policy would be one of his strong suits? I actually have newfound respect for Hillary Clinton as Secretary of State. I think, you know, she's been stellar.
Let's take a quick a break. We will talk more about some national and international issues coming up, and it's our Week in Review quiz as well, talking with David Blaska, former Dane County Supervisor. His new blog is at ibwisconsin.com, and Ed Garvey, senior partner at the law firm of Garvey McMillan Associates and publisher of fightingbob.com. This is the Week in Review on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. This is the Week in Review. I'm Joy Cardine along with Ed Garvey and David Blaska, and it's time for the Week in Review quiz. This week, a famous work of art was auctioned off for $120 million, which broke the record for the most expensive piece of art ever sold at an auction. The question is, what is the name of this work of art? We will reveal the answer and the winner at the end of the program. We will randomly select a winner from all of the correct answers. If you call 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, you can also email us, talk@wpr.org. Again, what is the name of the piece of art which broke a record for the most expensive piece of art ever sold at auction this week, going for $120 million? All right, well, let's talk about more presidential politics. We We had a candidate suspend his candidacy this week. Newt Gingrich is out of the race. No, that's no big surprise, but you know, he had some supportive things to say about Mitt Romney when he pulled out, but he also had some very tough things to say about Mitt Romney when he was a candidate. Is that going to come back to haunt Mitt Romney, David Blaska?
Yes, thanks to, you know, Barack Obama is not going to be second to anyone, Ed, in campaign spending and getting mega corporations big money. You know, he's got the Silicon Valley billionaires behind him, and that's fine. I've never complained about that. You know, they make a choice, and so yeah, we'll hear about it. Sure.
Well, obviously, you're going to hear about it because these are the words that came from another Republican running against him, saying he was a liar. He said all flip flopper. I mean, there's nothing that we could say about Mitt Romney that hasn't been said already by Newt Gingrich and Ron Paul and Terry.
Ed, do you really think that Mitt Romney is a liar?
To quote Newt Gingrich?
I'm asking you.
I think he knows whether he's telling the truth or not. He's just so divorced from reality.
Okay. I hesitate to use that word even on my worst political enemies.
Yeah, I usually don't either.
I may be mistaken, but you think Mitt Romney's that bad for America?
You think, David, that Republicans will strongly unify now behind Mitt Romney?
Yes, I do. I think, you know, they may need to have a vice presidential candidate with a little oomph on there. People love Paul Ryan. I saw Ryan and Romney together in Middleton a couple of weeks ago. They were just dynamic.
I'm sorry I missed that.
Yeah, it was great. It really was. Or, you know, Marco Rubio would bring a lot to the ticket. So I think they need someone like that to kind of jazz up the works a little bit.
Yeah, who do you think Mitt's going to pick, Ed?
They're in trouble. You look around and see who they could pick. Oftentimes there's somebody that has come through the primary season with the ultimate nominee. There doesn't seem to be anybody here, unless it's Governor Perry or, you know, someone like that. I don't see anyone who could bring enough to the ticket to make a big difference for Mitt Romney. He has really run one of the worst campaigns I've ever seen in my life, and he has made it impossible for people to really support him, in part because he can't hold on to an idea long enough to confirm it the next day.
Let's take Ryan in Shell Lake next. Hello, Ryan.
Hi. Hey, before I get to my question, I want to make a comment. It's kind of been stewing in me for a while now, and it's something I've really wanted to say.
Ryan, is it on the topic of the news of the week?
It is. It's on the topic of politics. Lately on NPR, you've been running a lot of shows on politics, on the different campaigns being run throughout the country, and the cases like the John Edward trial, cases like... you spoke to, not you personally, but you spoke to Jim Buckley, NPR, WPR spoke to Jim Buckley the other week, and I'm just shocked that people don't realize that politicians are dirty, that politicians lie, that politicians are just like every other human being in the country. You know, everybody's so shocked when these politicians do the same thing that average working men are doing. You know, I'm not saying it's all right, but, you know, it's something everybody in the country does, and it's a sad thing, but it's true. And I'm surprised by how many Americans are shocked by this. Okay, to get to my question, though, sorry for getting that off topic there. It's just something I had to say. But my question is about Mitt Romney. Now, Mitt Romney is a Mormon. Is he playing this into his campaign at all, or is it one of those things that will hurt him, or is it one of those things that he just doesn't even need to say?
What do you think, David?
Well, supposedly some... fundamentalist Christians had a problem, but you know, Mormons are pretty conservative as a religion. They don't drink, they don't smoke. Ed and I are Catholics here, and we know that drinking is a sacrament. So, I mean, you know, and you're Irish, so
it's even worse.
But I'm Bohemian, so we like beer. I don't think it will be a problem. I don't think it will be.
Mm-hmm. I don't either. I think religion has taken a back seat ever since John Kennedy's great speech in Houston. You had Rick Santorum was terribly upset about Kennedy's speeches. He read it that he threw up or almost threw up or whatever. But I don't think people sit around and say, oh, my goodness, he's a Mormon. Most people have no idea what Mormons are, I mean, or what they believe in or whatever. And if the evangelicals can get over it, then anybody can.
Let's talk about a somewhat related issue. An openly gay spokesperson for Mitt Romney's campaign and a supporter of gay marriage resigned this week after only being on the job for a couple of weeks. This came after some conservative groups were considering his hire. What message does this send, Ed?
Oh, it was blatant. Clearly, what was it, Family Resource Group came out and said they had to get rid of this guy. He was an activist, a gay. Romney has not taken a firm position on this like he has on many, practically all other issues. But I think that the gay community, and frankly, I think probably 70% of the American people now believe gay marriage is fine. They certainly wouldn't discriminate in terms of jobs. So I think this is going to hurt Romney.
What do you think?
I really have no idea, but I did hear, and I can't think of the person, but apparently there's a Mormon, a woman who is gay, and she's very well known. So I don't know. I really don't.
Well, let's the very latest from China. China has responded in the diplomatic standoff with the United States over a blind Chinese activist who was criticizing China for its forced abortions. The Chinese Foreign Ministry now says that this dissident, Chen Guangcheng, can apply to study overseas. Chen has been asking that the U.S. help him and his family leave China because he says the situation there is dangerous for him. He was at the U.S. Embassy for a while, then he was now is being treated at a hospital. All eyes were on whether or not he's going to be able to hop on a plane with Hillary Clinton, who's out there, to fly back to the U.S. Ed, what are your thoughts on this situation?
Well, one of the problems, of course, is that we don't have much leverage in dealing with China. So if we say, listen, this is important, we want this man freed to come to the United States, and China says no, what are we going to do? Stop buying their products or stop asking them to buy our bonds? So we have a big problem. I hope they work it out through a scholarship program or some other way, because the point's been made from our perspective, and that is that human rights is not high on the priority list in China. And hopefully they'll be able to take care of the situation. But it's not going to be fun if the Chinese simply dig in their heels and say no.
David?
Well, I just wish I had the movie rights to this. I mean, it's a great story. And, you know, him lulling his captors and then escaping at night. He's blind, and he knew the first couple of miles by heart. But then, you know, he found freedom. And this is still what this country is all about. People want freedom, come to America. And I think, you know, that still speaks well of this great country of ours.
These numbers just came in this morning. This is back to national news. April hiring slows. Jobless rate falls to 8.1%. Employers decreased hiring for the second straight month in April, but the unemployment rate still fell to 8.1%, giving mixed messages about the economy's strength ahead of the November election. How's the economy doing, do you think, Ed?
Well, I think it's a shame that the Wisconsin performance has dragged down the entire
nation. Oh, my. Are they paying you? They should. He does it for free, folks.
The economy is in trouble, but I think if people would get Paul Krugman's new book, End This Depression Now, and read it, they'll have a better understanding of what has to happen. Paul Ryan and his nonsense, the Ayn Rand philosophy, says that in times of difficulty, you have an austere budget. That's just the wrong way to go, and Krugman makes it very clear. This is the time they should be spending.
And by the way, if you buy Paul Krugman's book, it's $24.95. You'll certainly be ending Paul Krugman's depression.
He's not depressed.
I'm wondering, Ed, if you especially, and David, you probably do too, the suicide of that NFL player, Junior
Sale.
There is a lot of speculation that he may have committed suicide due to depression over
head injuries, and a lot of people are talking. This is, you know, he's not the first, if he did indeed commit suicide over mental health issues due to head injuries. What is this?
Well, there have been several recently. I mean, over the past few months, the National Football League has always buried its head in the sand when it comes to tough issues like this. Artificial turf, which caused more knee and ankle injuries, for example. The head injuries that are caused by using helmets that are really weapons. Coaching players to use that helmet as a battering ram. And when the study first started, there might be a problem with players having brain injuries. The NFL sort of said, poo-pooed it and said, there's no big problem here. I think that the reason that they're in trouble, or they're going to be in trouble, is that George Miller, the congressman from California, and others have said, wait a second, it's not just the NFL players. It's all the college players and high school players who are running the risk of head injuries, and they're going to do something about it. This is not going to just go by without notice. 1,000 of the players, former players, have filed a lawsuit against the National Football League, and if the NFL does something, I think it's because of one word, liability.
All right. David says he has nothing to add to that.
Well, then I'll add his part.
let's reveal the answer to our Week in Review quiz question. Let me see if I have it right here. Yes, I do. This week, a famous work of art was auctioned off for $120 million, which broke the record for the most expensive piece of art ever sold at an auction. What is the name of this work of art? Well, we congratulate Dave and Wanakee. I wonder if that was the Dave and Wanakee who just called. That's excellent. Congratulations, Dave. Anyway, you are the randomly selected correct answer of today's quiz question. The name of the work of art was The Scream. And Edvard Munch is the artist. This week at Sotheby's, The Scream was auctioned for $120 million. It was estimated to sell for $80 million, but two competitive bidders drove the price up during a nearly 15-minute bidding war. The auction of Impressionist and Modern Art also featured works by Picasso and Dali and others. So that is it. It was The Scream. And now with our remaining minutes, I'm going to ask Ed Garvey and David Blaska if there is something you'd like to scream about or rant about, you get to vent about during the last couple of minutes of the Week in Review. Maybe it's something that we've already talked about, or maybe it's something we didn't get a chance to get to yet. Ed Garvey?
Well, I just, when I think of The Scream, I think that's probably what people felt when they heard that that Walker raised $25 million. I mean, there is a scream that says there's something terribly wrong here. I mean, my rant is that we talk about money in politics. We do nothing about it, and it is time to get the big money out of politics. As Gaylord Nelson suggested, put down the tin cup and run on principles and issues, and eventually we're going to win. If we keep trying to compete with the big money, we're never going to get there because they have an unlimited supply of it, and we have a very limited supply.
What is your scream, David?
Well, for $115 million, was it? I could scream pretty loud.
$120
million. It's got to be both Tom Barrett and Kathleen Falk not saying what they would do if they had been governor and inherited a $3.6 billion deficit, and would they have raised taxes, and if so, how much? And the Weekly Standard asked that question, and Kathleen Falk said, I'm not answering. None of us will answer that question. The Milwaukee Journal Sentinel followed up. Still no answers. Tom Barrett's working on an answer. We'll maybe hear from it. Maybe he should have that press conference saying, yes, I would have raised taxes. I would have fully funded every school to pass and not required any performance. I would have gotten the teachers' union endorsement. So they need to tell the people of Wisconsin what they would have done.
Are you going to be watching the debate tonight, David?
Well, now that I know about it, yes.
Oh, okay. Are you going to watch, Ed?
Yes, indeed. I actually agree with you. I think it is time for people to put their cards on the table.
All right. Well, you can watch the Wisconsin gubernatorial Democratic primary candidate debate tonight at 7 o'clock on Wisconsin Public Television, or listen on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Ed Garvey, David Blaska, thanks a lot for being here.
Thank you.
And have a great weekend, everybody. I hope you join us Monday at this time. Monday at this time, it's a Mondays with Mike, but it's a new Mike this time. Your chance to meet Wisconsin Public Radio's new program director, Mike Arnold. So Mike Arnold joins us to talk with you about Wisconsin Public Radio programming tomorrow at this time. Have a great weekend, everybody. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.